This is our second week on this mini-series we're doing that fits in with our theme for the year for our church, which is love God and love neighbor. And we're just trying to focus in on trying to fulfill the Great Command and just learning what it means to love God, especially in our prayer lives. I mean, love God's a big category. So is love your neighbor, too. But love God is a huge category, and we're really trying to focus in on our prayer lives. And I don't think there's probably one person among us that would say that, man, I got that down, that prayer thing is just, it's at 200%. And so we all have room for improvement here. And, you know, just so you know, the purpose in all this is not these messages, and I don't think they're going to have this sense at all, but is not to kind of beat ourselves up, because that's kind of what can happen, especially with prayer. We can say, well, yeah, I just need to pray more, man, you know, and you know, go home and do that, you know. But it's to really these last Sunday and this Sunday is really about trying to encourage us in this whole area. What would be some biblical motivations and some attitudes that would help us just pursue this, not out of guilt, but just, or out of duty, but just out of delight of just wanting that. And so that's kind of our desire here with this series we're doing. And, you know, this video kind of fit right in with last week, especially too, because we talked about having a childlike faith, right? Praying like a child of God. I encourage you, if you weren't here for that, listen to that. Look at the scriptures there. Just very encouraging. Just God's just wanting us to ask, because he's the best daddy ever, and he wants to bless us with answered prayer. And so, just encourage you to listen to that. You know, I think about one time. I mean, this is all kinds of things you could go back to. You think about different points in your life where you were just so excited about something, joyful about something, and for some reason, this popped in my head today. When I was a sophomore in high school, I played shortstop for our baseball team, the reserve team. But I got asked to come along to the district and regionals. You know, we didn't win beyond regionals that time. But I got just to be able to suit up and go with the varsity team and take infield and all that. I didn't get to get at bat, but it was just so fun to be able to be there, you know, with all the guys that were ahead of me that I looked up to. And it was just a great joy. It was fun to be able to participate in that event. And, you know, prayer, in one sense, is a joyful event. I don't know if you've really thought about that. But this verse we want to take a look at together here in John chapter 16. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn there or look it up on your device. It's John 16. Verse 23, just take a look here, John 16, 23 and 24. It says, "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." And then verse 24 says, "Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." And for some reason, this has just escaped me, this verse, you know, that asks so that, and you will receive, and the word "so that," you know, usually means, here's the reason why, right? Here's the reason why you should ask me, God says. You should ask me, he says, "Ask and you'll receive, that your joy may be full." You know, guys, it's so exciting when we pray and we see God work. It's a real kick, you know, if you will. It's the best drug you've ever had, because you see God working. Okay, you see God working, and he brings us joy. Praying brings us joy. This sounds so self-serving, But Jesus said it. Pray, ask, you'll receive, so that your joy will be full. And so I found myself this week, on Friday, I was working from home, and some things came up where I needed to, well, there was just a medical situation I needed to pray about right away. And so I kind of, you know, when your kids leave the nest, you have more room. And so I kind of taken up the, I've kind of like claimed the boys' bedroom until they come home and like need it for a weekend or something. And so I just got up and I started pacing back and forth, which I do. It's kind of my way, as you know. And I just started praying about that one thing. And I was just like, Lord, we really need this to happen. You know, this is praying about this medical thing. And so I was just so, you know how you just kind of have that sense of urgency in your soul. You're just like, God, this has got to happen, you know. And I wasn't, you know, wasn't commanding God to do it because that wouldn't work. And but just really with a sense of urgency. And then as I'm praying about that, there were some other things that were on my mind that just kind of started flowing out. And I'm praying out loud, you know, and of course nobody's around there. Just praying out loud, and I just got excited as I'm praying about these things, wondering how God was going to answer it, answer this stuff that he was just laying on my heart and my mind to pray for. And it really was a joyful time. I came out of that, you know, it was just 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes, and just so pumped. You know, and not that it's all about the feelings, but let me tell you what, it's great when they're there. You know, and our joy will be full as we press into just praying. Okay, and that's Jesus' invitation to us. He's like, hey, you go ahead, he says, until now you've asked for nothing in my name. You know, so the disciples, he's addressing the disciples, and he says, you haven't asked for anything in my name right now. You know, but now I want you to start asking that way, you know, because things are going to change here in a little while, and I'm going to go away, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, right? And he gets into all that later. But he says, ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. And might I just suggest that maybe there is a lack of joy in your life because this is a totally uncharted territory for you. Or maybe you've had the wrong impression of prayer and that, you know, you've tried it. It's like it's a bore to me. I don't really know how it works. Let me tell you what. You know what you got to do? In my experience is if you want to be joyful in prayer, you got to hang out with some people that love to pray and who are excited about praying to God, and you pray with them. And, you know, whether it's in a small group or whether it's just with somebody who you know likes to pray or is a prayer warrior, you might put them in that category. And just hang out with them and say, can we spend some time in prayer? Or maybe even on the phone. I mean, you know, if you can't be there, that's the next best thing. And just, it's just, you know, it's like that in other things. You know, that joy is really catches like fire, right? And you come over to my house, and if the Buckeyes are playing, you know, you better be cheering for the Buckeyes, first of all, and I'm going to yell, and I'm going to scream, and it might be catching, okay? And you just might, you know, get a little excited. I don't know. But it's like that in a lot of other arenas in our lives, right? And so what about this area of prayer? Is just that maybe we're lacking joy in parts of our lives because this is just uncharted territory for us. We need to, God wants us to grow in this whole area. And let me just encourage you in something, okay? If you don't pray out loud, would you just try it? Okay, because let me tell you what, if I pray in my mind, I get lost in there. I mean, there's a lot of things going on in there. Okay? I mean, I don't mean like I'm a genius, because that's definitely not true. Right? You know, I make all kinds of mistakes on the blackboard at school, and you know, anyway. So, but you know, when you pray out loud, you can maintain some focus. And some of us are so bad, ADHD, DD, whatever that is, you know, if we try to just, you know, we just cannot focus. And so just pray out loud. And you may say, well, you know, I'm not really good with my words, and I don't really know what to say. And I'm like, you know, just got to overcome that, you know, and you just, you know, just pray to start talking to God, start laying it out. You know, talk about the things that are really burdening you. You know, something bothering me, I come home and I just verbally on Linda. You know, it's just, I just start talking about it. I don't have to think about it. It just comes right out of there. Same with me. She does the same with me. You know, and so it's no different with God. When you have a relationship with God, right, the things that are on your heart, just speak them, right? Pray about them. Take him to God and watch him work. I've just been so excited lately. God's been answering a number of different prayers about, specifically about reaching out to other people. And you can see God working, and it's drawing them to himself, because the conversations that God's putting out there for me to have with people in the classroom and so on, and just other people, I would tell you, that is God. He's answering prayer. Because, hey, my small group's praying for that. I'm praying for that. I know my wife's praying for that. And so God is answering, and it's like this adventure we're on now to see, I wonder how God's going to work now. And so it really is joyful. It really is. And so just know that Jesus is saying, hey, he invites us into this wonderful conversation with him, to talk to him, and he says, in that there is actually joy. And so just, you know, try to set aside all preconceived notions, maybe all bad experiences you've had with prayer, and try to say, Lord, I want this to be a fresh thing for me. I want to experience your joy that you have for me in prayer. And so, you know, if I had started off this message and ask people how many people associate the word joy with prayer, there probably wouldn't be a lot of hands raised. Just, you know, it's just kind of reality sometimes. But I tell you what, I think that's just the enemy. Satan, our enemy, does not want us to pray, right? Because that's where victories are really won, in the arena of prayer. Because, you know, Ephesians chapter 6 tells us there's a whole realm that we cannot see. Right? And in that realm, he mentions there in Ephesians chapter 6, he talks about prayer is critical in that battle. In that battle. And so, just you know, I can't say enough. And I got to say, you know, hey, man, I've ebbed and flowed in this whole area of my life. And that's kind of the way it goes as a human, you know. But right now, God's just really encouraging me. And I just think he just wants to encourage you and say, hey, come on, ask. You'll receive, that your joy may be full. And in the process, you grow just in your walk with God, because you're talking to him. And that's how you grow in your relationship with others. You talk to them. And so prayer brings us joy. That's a reason to pray. I mean, it's just one of the many, many reasons. And you know what another reason is that prayer is obeying, actually. Let's take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You know, this is at the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 here. Towards the end is where Paul, writing to this church, kind of has, you know, it's kind of like these staccato verses, you know. You musicians know that staccato is just these little quick things, right? And so that's what's happening here, is that he's saying things like, hey, rejoice always, verse 16. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. So he just has all these short kind of commands and exhortations, right? And so one of those there you see is pray without ceasing. And so when we're praying, we're actually obeying, right? So, you know, it's kind of one of those things that you tell your kids, well, why should I do it, Daddy? Well, because I told you so, right? And so there are many other reasons to be praying, but one of them is because we are commanded to. We're told to do that, and here he says in the form of a command, pray without ceasing. Now, this is a really strange command, isn't it? You're like, okay, God, I got to work. I have to, like, drive my car. I have to take a shower. I have to sleep. How can I pray without ceasing? How is that even possible? And I think here the essence of this is just the attitude that when I'm not fully engaged in something else, then I'm kind of basically drawn to the Lord, and it's kind of my default, you know. The default is something that you kind of go to normally, right? And so when I'm not having to fully engage my brain in teaching math or in preparing a sermon, of course I'm praying even in preparation for those things, but you know what I mean, your attitude is kind of like you're wanting to talk to God about this, or even in your heart you're saying, God, help me. It might be a 5-second prayer. God, help me with this. I've had that happen a number of times when I, you know, sometimes, maybe, I don't know if it's age here, I hope it's not, but sometimes I'll be at the board working on a problem in trig with my students, and I'll be like, oh man, I'm lost. I'll be like, I just forgot what I was going to do next. And I'm like, you know, and I've done it 100 times. You know, and I'm like, so that's where you get that Nehemiah prayer. Say, God, help! Right now, please. You know, you might think that's silly, but yay, why not, right? And so, you know, that pray without ceasing, I think it's just kind of like, that's my kind of way in life here, is that my default is when I've got some time is just to be, you know, I kind of gravitate towards taking things to God, telling him stuff that's on my mind, and just that relationship with God is just developed by doing that, just talking to him. And so, you know, pray without ceasing. There's a whole slew of other places. You might want to jot these down. James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And so he says, pray for one another. And he's talking about for the purpose of healing and so on. But nonetheless, it's a command. Pray for one another. James 5:16. And then in Luke 22:40, he says, and when he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. So there's a command there to pray. And then in Luke 18:1, the parable of the persistent widow, as some call it, it says, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. To always pray. That was Luke 18:1. Well, in Matthew 6:9, where you get into we call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's really the disciples' prayer, because Jesus could never have prayed this prayer, right? Because there's an admission of sin in this prayer, right? Forgive us our debts. Jesus, you know, he's got no sin, so he couldn't pray that. But he was instructing them on how to pray, right? And so. So he says, pray then like this, or when you pray, pray this way, right? And so there's the assumption when he says, and when you pray, that you're actually going to pray, right? So there's, I mean, you can just look all over the place. It's just everywhere. And praying is obeying. And, you know, elsewhere in the Gospel of John tells us that when you obey God, your joy is made full then too. When you're walking in God's will. And let me tell you what, you know, there's God has declared certain things very explicitly in Scripture. we don't even have to wonder certain things that we know are his will. Like that one there that said, you know, give thanks and everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Well, you know, so you don't have to wonder now, I wonder if I should give thanks right now. You know, no, because that is God's will, right? And so just this whole, you know, praying is obeying, and obeying, there is fullness of joy in that as we walk out and do God's will. And so there is a sense where, hey, this, we are being followers of Jesus, and he sets the example. I'm sorry, I have to tie my shoe, or I'm going to fall right over. And then, you know, that would be an interesting thing. Yeah, speaking of ADD, I know, exactly. Yeah, I'm preaching to the choir on that. You know, I'm not even going to talk about that. Sorry. This just kind of plays right into the whole thing, doesn't it? I really think the internet has reprogrammed our brains. That's where I was going to go with that, and there's an article written about that. But that has nothing to do with this message. So, praying is obeying. You know, this next point is my favorite point. This verse just has gripped me this week like never before. When we pray, God causes things to happen. Okay, now that, if you're a Calvinist, that kind of freaks you out. And some of you don't know what I mean. That's okay. But I'm just saying, like, you know, because the sovereignty of God, he's in control, right? We're certainly, there's nothing that we're going to say to him that's going to override what he wants to happen, okay? But this verse we're going to look at is definitely a very clear statement that when we pray, God causes things to happen. And I don't mean it's kind of like in some, you know, weird New Age-ish kind of way, but I just really mean God uses our prayers to do things. Okay? And so let's go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. In verse 2, he says, you desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. He's addressing some issues with these believers here. And he says, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly. Oh, I missed something, didn't I? I missed the important part. You do not have because you do not ask, right? You do not have because you do not ask. What is the direct implication of that? If I ask, I'll have. If I pray, stuff happens. God causes things to happen that would not have happened if I had not prayed. Now, to me, that raises the ante. This is a great humbling sermon for me right now, okay? See, this is at the point in the math lesson. If I've spelled something wrong, I admit to my students, I say, my wife is the language arts expert, not me, right? But it raises the ante, because if you know your prayers are going to actually accomplish something, I hope you would pray. That it actually causes stuff to happen that would not have happened otherwise. And that is out there to some people. They say, well, that sounds like God's not in control. No, he is. But somehow, the God of the universe uses prayer to accomplish his will. How it works, I have no idea. And our problem is, we want to try to box it all up and figure out how it works. It's like the old black box. You know, something's coming into it, something happens in there, and something comes out. Prayer's kind of like that. We have statements like this, you guys. We have statements like that say, you need to ask, or it's not going to happen. You have not because you ask not. And we don't know how God uses that in his sovereign will and all of this. But we know he tells us to do it. So for me to not to do it is to disobey. But for me, it's an encouragement to say, man, when I pray, it's not just blowing smoke and making myself feel all good inside. You know, that might be what an atheist would say. Is it makes you feel good. You know, you go ahead and you're just saying things to the air. But a believer knows that God uses those prayers to accomplish things. And so, you know, we've got to, you know, I would never, Jacob, would you ever, on Christmas Day, would you ever leave one of your presents unwrapped?
No.
Oh, no. I knew I could count on you. I knew it. Because it might be just the next biggest amp for his bass. I mean, you know, we would never do that. That would be insane. Our prayers, I just think God's like, I got a gift here. I want to give it to you, but you're going to have to ask. You don't ask, you don't get it. It's that simple. And I really think that's what God's saying to us. You know, we need to realize and really believe what he says about prayer. You have not because you asked not. And so you think, okay, well, that means then if I ask, then things actually do happen. Now, I get it. You say, well, Greg, you don't know. I've been praying for 20 years for my kid to turn around. You know, he's been AWOL from God, you know. And all I can say is I don't know what God is doing there, but you keep praying. You keep praying that like that persistent widow in Luke 18. You know, and you have to trust God that he's, you know, that he knows what's best and good. But by golly, until he gives me another desire to pray another way, that's the way I'm praying. And that's the way we need to be. And I just say, you know, that's my verse this week. That's my takeaway. I say, man, God, I know. You know, we got to see this as like the most awesome privilege. You know, Zach, I'm picking on this side today, so if, you know, you might want to avoid staying over here. Zach works for Radio U. He's a DJ there. He has access. I've seen the pictures on Facebook. He has access to the most awesome bands, most of whom I probably don't know their names, but they're awesome, and they love the Lord. And so I'm just thinking, you know, he has, and I'm just thinking, you know, that guy is so privileged to be able to be in that job, to be next to those people, and, you know, that's pretty cool. And do you realize that the God of the universe, who spoke the world into existence, invites us to participate in his grand plan through prayer? That's some access. I mean, that's access, but that's access. I mean, that is really incredible. And we need to, I just think we don't, sometimes I don't appreciate the privilege that I have and that you have as a believer, that now we can boldly and confidently approach the throne of grace and ask him, and we pray for him, and we intercede on behalf of other people. And God uses it and causes things to happen. He's ordained it that way. He's ordained that it worked that way. And we just need to take that and just go for it. That should encourage us. You know, a little while ago, God was doing some things in my wife's life, and this whole area of prayer and being kind of intentional about it and strategic about it kind of took on, in my view, just a whole nother level, and it was very encouraging for me. And so I was going to have her come up and share a little bit about her testimony in this area. So, hon, why don't you come on up here? You know, this is not, Linda's like, this is not my forte, but she, this is God's story in her life in this area. So just take it away, babe.
Yeah, especially after following the kids today. I don't know. So we went to see The War Room. We got to go before it was released, which was really cool. And when I saw it, those of you that have seen the movie, I wanted to be like Miss Clara. I thought she was so cool. And if you haven't seen the movie, you have to see it so you can see who she is and what she did. But she was just a real prayer warrior. And I am not a prayer warrior. So just so you get that right off the bat. Before we got married, I actually worked at Linworth, and I was with, like, there were three or four pastors there, and we would have prayer meetings, and I was like, I have to pray with all of you guys. It was a little intimidating for me, and I was like, okay. So I just, that was kind of, for me, a big thing, and I just thought, okay, well, I'm just going to pray like I'm talking to God like I always do. But I feel like my prayer life has kind of ebbed and flowed, kind of like Greg was talking about. But after that movie, I just felt like God wanted me to do more, because I feel like I was kind of sporadic in my prayer life, maybe. It's not that I didn't pray, but I wasn't, like, as intentional as I wanted to be. And so I got the book that Priscilla Shire wrote called Fervent, which kind of goes along with the War Room movie, if you're interested. And in that book, there at the back, there's these prayer cards for you to write prayer requests on, things you want to pray for. And if you've seen the movie, I don't think I'll spoil it for anybody if you haven't, but if you've seen the movie, what happens is she posts these, like, in a little room, all these prayer requests. And I don't have a room like that. If you've been to my house, it's small. And
I stole the room. Yeah, sorry.
And when my kids come home, it's like, I don't really want to post prayer requests up there for everybody to read. It, by the way, if you're in, this is my little prayer book, and if you're in here, if you ever have something really discreet, nobody would ever know what it is, because I don't write it down that way. I write it so I know, but nobody else would ever know.
Ooh,
because
prayer code.
Yeah, I have prayer code. Anyway, so I started with those cards, and one of the kids had this old bulletin board that they weren't using, so I thought, oh, great, this is portable. I can take it from room to room. This is cool. So I started filling out these cards, and I put them on this board, and then I realized that the kids came home, and I left it somewhere. I'm like, oh, okay. So I decided I need, and plus then we were going to go on vacation. I was like, oh, I need something that I can take with me. So that's how I came to this little booklet type thing. And it's kind of interesting, because I'd never thought of this. I also did the study this fall, The Armor of God, and that's by Priscilla Shire too. So, but at the end of The Armor of God, Ephesians 6:18, it says, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep an alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And she talks about how prayer is so key in the armor of God. Like, you can put on all your armor, but you need, prayer is the key, because God's the one that's going to work. And so that really affected me. And there were a couple things in her book that really affected me as well. This is one of the quotes from the book. When you bring your concerns and fears and irritations to the Lord in prayer, you're aligning your weakling spirit with a full force of God's Holy Spirit. And that's how I see myself. I'm so much a weakling. And Sam and I were talking about superheroes and heroes and being a hero. We were talking about being a hero last night. And I was thinking about, as we were singing the song Almighty, and I was thinking, you know, kind of what Greg was saying, you know, we have the Almighty at work for us. We just have to ask. And so often I don't. And so that's what this little booklet has kind of become. And I love texting, because I've started small, because I was like, I want to be faithful. So I have certain people that I pray for. And so every couple of weeks they get a text from me. And if you're one of those people, you know. And and I say, well, hey, is there something I could be praying for you? And so they have a little tab in here. I have miscellaneous tabs, because there's a lot of people I pray for, but where I put some people. And then I have little, like, boxes. I put the date in little boxes where I can check off when that prayer request is answered, and I might put a little note how God answered it. But that's kind of what I've been doing. I don't know if you want.
That's awesome. So. That's good. Thanks for sharing your story. Yeah, you know, it's kind of cool just to see how, you know, the Lord just works on us at different times in different ways. And I just thought, you know, just hopefully be encouraging to us all just to hear, hear God use this movie just to encourage somebody in prayer. And we're going to show that War Room movie in April. In fact, so we're going to have the ushers now pass out your own prayer journal, okay, as our gift to you guys. And you can use it and organize it how you will, all right? And it's basically just a journal with a couple of labels put on it that I put on there with some stuff. And then you obviously use it however you want. But just maybe as just an encouragement to you to be praying, maybe intentionally and strategically a little bit more. From thinking about this point, James 4:2, you have not because you ask not, right? And so whether you're praying about things in your own life or, yeah, go ahead, just pass them on out, guys. Whether you're praying about your own life or praying for others, they call that intercession, just whether I don't care how you use this, but I just encourage you to use it somehow. Or maybe you have your own thing going, and if you do, that's great. I there's nothing special about this journal. I mean, I bought it online somewhere, it's nothing, but on the inside cover there's a label that has some ways you can participate in prayer. And obviously the first one is, well, every second of every day I can be praying without ceasing, right? And then there's some just ways, even weekly, Julie Roy's and some folks that are praying over here in Charlie's office, right? And that's another way. And then monthly we have our prayer meeting here to unite in prayer together. And then we have this prayer vigil coming up in April, and a lot of you participated in that last year. We really would love everyone to be a part of it this year. But on the Wednesday of that week, when we have our prayer vigil this year, that would actually normally be a monthly prayer time. And so on that Wednesday, we're going to show the War Room movie, okay? And so hopefully that just be another touch point. Since this is one of the themes in our church this year, we're just not going to talk about it here in February and then, oh, hope you got it, We're just going to have these touch points all through the year to try to encourage you in this area, and that'll be one of them, right? And I tell you what, I always find that prayer vigil so encouraging because you're praying over cards that people have filled out. And some of these people, we're a small church, but let's just face it, we don't get to talk on a deeper level a lot with everyone, right? And so when you read these prayer requests and you kind of learn a little about what God's doing in their life, and you just go to bat for them in prayer, it's encouraging. And you realize those prayers are accomplishing something. So that's what those dates are there for. And again, you use that journal however you want, but just let it be a reminder to you to try to be more intentional, just remembering James 4:2. Last thing I want to mention here about why to pray, because that's what we're talking about here today, right? We just hit the highlights. Praying is obeying. Praying causes things to happen. Praying brings us joy. I mean, we could go on, guys, but let me just say, the last thing is just that praying glorifies God. Praying glorifies God. And that's, again, some of us may not be used to using that language. What does that mean to glorify God? It really means it puts the spotlight on Him. It lifts Him up for all to see, and He is the focus and gets the credit, if you will, if that's a way to say it. He's glorified through this. And so let's take a look at John chapter 14. Gospel of John, chapter 14. Before we get into that, I got to share with you something. There was how many people have heard of Howard Hendricks? Howard Hendricks, okay? He's gone to be with the Lord, but he was a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary. He, put it this way, he taught Chuck Swindoll. Okay, and people like him. I mean, a lot of people who are Tony Evans, the Urban Alternative. He mentored these people who've had an incredible impact for the kingdom of God as preachers, right? And he would. I listened to a message that he spoke at Moody's Founders Week some years ago, and he was talking about prayer and modeling our prayer lives after Jesus. And I just got to share with you just kind of what he shared, a little bit about what they did. In their classroom one time, he asked his students, it was a preaching class or what it was, to come with the names of people they wanted to pray that would receive Christ as their Savior, that they were pretty certain were not believers. And so they brought in, I don't know if they had, 70 cards or whatever it was. It was quite a few. And they committed to pray for all those names every day. And he said that at least probably about 70% of all those people in that year came to faith practically by no other means of their involvement other than prayer. In other words, they didn't necessarily go and share the gospel with them. They prayed for them, okay? I mean, that's pretty astounding, okay, statistically speaking. I mean, that is just blows my mind. And that's what we need to do. We need to pray for people in all kinds of ways, for healing, for help, for salvation, all those things. But when you hear stories like that just makes me want to get on my knees, man. I'm like, hey, let's go at it, man, because that's God. He's doing stuff like that, and so we need to, I think, encourage each other in this way. Share what God is doing. It's not a boastful thing to say this is what God's doing. I prayed, this is what he did. Praise the Lord, right? That glorifies him, right? So John 14:13, I think I'd be there by now. 14:13 says, let's back up, verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Oh my gosh, that's huge. What is that? Think about that. Okay, hang on. Verse 13, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. He's saying here, you ask me things in my name, I'll do it, because what's going to happen is God's going to get the glory. And we see God answer prayer and we lift him up and say, look what God did. That was just incredible. Okay? Incredible. And so God is glorified when we pray, because, think about this too. In Matthew 6:9, when Jesus teaches the disciples how to pray, and he says, our Father who art in heaven, and what comes next? Hallowed be your name, right? Whoa, that's not a typical word I use. Hey, hallowed, what does that even mean? Right? It means sanctified, set apart, holy, okay? And I think in the context, what he's getting at, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. In other words, as I'm praying and the things I'll pray about, I want you to be glorified by them. The people, God, that you save, I want them to shout your name and say, glory to God, he did this. Or the people that get healed, or this thing God does, that, that God's name would be hallowed. It would be glorified. It would be holy. And that's what he's saying prayer does. Praying glorifies God, because as he answers those various prayers in various ways, he's glorified. Let me point you to another verse here, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I kind of teased you with that greater works that we will do. That's another message. That's an incredible concept, I got to say. I mean, I camped out on that a little bit. We should talk about that sometime. What is that? 2 Corinthians 1:11. Again, you got the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthians. And he says, 2 Corinthians 1:11, you also must help us by prayer. He's asking for prayer, right? You also must help us by prayer so that, okay, here's that word again, right? Here's the purpose. So that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. That's a fascinating verse because it's like, hey, you guys pray for us because you know what? As God answers those prayers in those people's lives, they will give thanks to God because of your prayers. So their prayers were for Paul, right? For whatever he was doing in the ministry to these other people. And he's saying, keep praying because as God answers those prayers, these people will give thanks to God. They will glorify God, right? And how he works in their lives. And it will be because of the prayers of many. And again, that's just another verse, I think, that just encourages us to say, hey, as God does these things, as somehow he, you know, mysteriously, if you will, works our prayers with his will and does these things, people glorify God. I mean, I look back on my life, you know, and I was a real ding-dong growing up. I mean, that's like a really light way to say it. And God saved me and somehow saw fit to put me in ministry. Man, that's just whacked out. And I say glory to God because only he can do that. And the same thing which each and every one of you who know Christ, you can look back and see how God, maybe he put believing parents in your life. Maybe he put a strategic person in your life at just the right time. And you can look back and glorify God. Because he was probably answering someone's prayer. Amen? And so that's, it's just fascinating to me, man. You just think about these verses. Just these few verses we've looked at today. You know, you're lacking some joy. You know, maybe prayer is something that's missing. And talk aloud to God. Again, I just want to challenge you on that. I get pushback on that sometimes. But just try it. And if you tried it before, try it again. Pray aloud to God. It'll help keep your focus, and I think it will actually maybe even develop your fervency in prayer. I can't be fervent in my head. I just can't. Again, maybe there's just something wrong up there. But it's hard for me. And I know there's nothing wrong with silent prayer. I'm not saying that's sin, but I'm just saying try being more verbal with God out loud. Prayer brings us joy. You know, and just think about, you know, when you're doing that, you're doing what the Lord asked you to do. You're obeying, right? And when you're doing that, things are happening. Not because you're all good and you all got it down on prayer. But no, God, the God you're praying to, he's the one, right, that is responding, right? Let us have that childlike faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so blessed and privileged, like we said before, to be able to bring our requests to you, our concerns to you, our cries for help. Sometimes our prayers cannot even be uttered with words, as it says in Romans. And the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words, it says. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit, that he's able to then do that for us when we can't even put words to what we're thinking and feeling. And God, I just pray that increase our joy in our prayer lives. Let it not be a burden, Father. Help us to have the right attitude, God, about this whole area. And I just pray that no one would feel guilt here, but just be encouraged that you just so want us to unwrap those gifts that are sitting underneath the tree, but we have not because we ask not. Lord, just help us. As a church, we need your help. And that's the best place to be, to say, I don't have it all together and I need your help. And we know that you're opposed to the proud, but you give grace to the humble. Lord, we turn to you and say, Lord, we want to be more effective prayers. knowing that Elijah, as it says in the book of James, was a man just like us. But yet, look at the things, as he prayed to you, that you did. Thank you for the bits of encouragement we have, whether it's like Linda had through the War Room movie and this book, or other people's testimonies of answer to prayer and your word, most of all, that encourages us and just really invites us to ask. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you grow us, and really, Lord, that you would be glorified this year, as this is just the beginning of just turning up the heat in our prayer lives and really storming the throne and asking you and seeking you on behalf of others, on behalf of our own lives, Lord. We pray that you do mighty things through that, and that you would be glorified. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.